Sicha for Parshas Kodach is in Chelek Yudches, Volume 18 of Likutei Sichos. It is known that the Torah is called Torah Achas, that although there are four parts, dimensions to Torah, Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Seid, the Pardes, the Garden of Torah, yet they all make up one whole Torah. And as is emphasized in the expression of the Zohar concerning the inner part of Torah and the revealed part of Torah, that's like a soul and a body. That the Pnimius HaTorah is the soul of Torah, and the revealed part of Torah, the laws of Torah, that's the body of Torah. So it's clear that a body and a soul make up one being, two parts of one being. According to this, we have to understand concerning the argument that Kodach started against Moshe and Aaron. In Pnimius HaTorah and Chassidus and Kabbalah, it is explained at length the great level of godliness that Kodach represented, and also the lofty meaning of his argument and his claim. And the mistake, the fault in Kodach's position, according to the Pnimius HaTorah, is that he was trying to attain a level that isn't possible and won't be possible until the world to come. But in the time of the world to come, it will happen. So he was merely ahead of his times in what he demanded, but what he demanded is legitimate and true and will in the future actually come to be. That's how Pnimius HaTorah explains it. But in the simple meaning, when you read the Torah itself, it seems to be saying that what Kodach did was a sin, it was a terrible mistake, it was unholy, and it dragged him and all of his people down into being swallowed up by the earth. So how do these two things coincide? How can they both be part of the same idea, of the same entity called Torah? And although you can't really ask this question, presented as a question, because each part of Torah has its unique approach, yet there should be at least somewhere in the revealed part of Torah, there should be at least some hint or some expression of virtue in Kodach's arguments, which is explained at greater length in Pnimius HaTorah. So we'll understand this by first asking a few questions and pointing out a few points in the simple meaning of the story. The Torah tells us that there were 250 people who agreed to offer the incense when Moshe challenged them to do this. And Moshe warned them that by doing it, they placed their life in danger, because they're not allowed, not being kohanim, they are not allowed to do this, and they will die from it. Just as Nadav and Avihu, the two sons of Aaron, died by going into the Holy of Holies with their incense. And yet they were willing to do it. And as the Medrash says, and Rashi quotes it, these were not fools. When the Torah warned them that they would die for it, they knew that that's what would happen, and yet were willing to go ahead and do it, knowing the consequences, ready to die. So the question is, what brought them to such a sin that they are willing to give their lives for it? Number two, it says in the Medrash that Rashi again quotes it, concerning Moshe. Moshe's response to them was, take the frying pans and the incense, and go in and offer up the incense. And then Moshe said to them, we have only one God, we have only one Kohen Gadol, and you, 250 of you, each one, all of you want to be Kohanim Gedolim. I also want that. Af ani zeitze b'kach. I also would want to be. So So what we need to understand here is that these 250 people who are waging this war, this machlekes, concerning who is the Kohen Gadol, and they want to take it away from Aaron, and they want to take it for themselves, how does Moshe, who is, of course, not agreeing with them, how does he say that he too would want to have it? It seems to be justifying their claim and taking their side when he says, I too want to be the Kohen Gadol. Why did Moshe have to say that? Number three, in general, we need to understand what was Korach's argument. When God said at the giving of the Torah, V'gam b'cho yaminu lo'olam, that when God speaks to Moshe face to face in front of the people, that will cause the people to believe in Moshe forever. So how could it be that Korach was now questioning whether Moshe was in fact a messenger of God? Particularly, these 250 people, each of them were great in their own right, the heads of the Sanhedrin and so on. So how could they fail to recognize what God promised would be recognized, that b'cho yaminu lo'olam, that the people will believe in you forever? Particularly, as the Rambam explains, that in you they will believe forever is an outcome of the fact that einenu ro'u v'lo zoz, we, our own eyes, saw, not someone else, v'aznenu shamu, and we ourselves, our ears, heard God speaking to Moshe, and not someone else. The fire and the thunder and the lightning, Moshe went up into the clouds, and the voice of God spoke to him, and we heard the voice of God call, Moshe, Moshe, go and say to the Jews such and such. To such a degree, it is so clear and so visible, and we were the witnesses, to such a degree that if a Navi comes along and performs miracles and predicts the future and it all comes true, but then says something other than what Moshe Rabbeinu said, then we don't listen to him, and we know for sure, for certain, that he did his miracles through magic, through Kishuv, and we don't believe him, and he's put to death. And that's because we don't believe in Moshe as a result of his miracles, but because we ourselves heard and saw how God spoke to Moshe. So if this is true for all generations to come, how much more so for the generation of Korach, who were literally there themselves? So how could it be that Korach, not being a Navi himself, and having seen all of this, how could he question, how could he deny that Moshe and Aaron are messengers of God? So the explanation is that Korach and his gang were not questioning that Aaron should be the Kohen Gadol. Rather, they wanted for themselves the same level of holiness. So, when they came along and argued with Moshe, they didn't question whether Moshe represented God's will. They didn't question, they believed completely that Moshe was the messenger of God, and that everything he did, including giving his brother, making his brother the Kohen Gadol, all of this was what God wanted. Only they wanted to add something to that, to add to what God did. God made Aaron the Kohen Gadol, and they wanted every Jew to be a Kohen Gadol. And they knew that by demanding it and by praying for it, they can change what God had already made. As they saw that when they sinned with the Egel, and God wanted to destroy them, Moshe's prayers changed God's mind, so to speak, and God didn't destroy them. And so Korach believed that by demanding and by pleading for the level of kahuna, that God will extend the holiness from Aaron to all the Jews, or to all to the entire tribe of Levi. so that the Levim, which is what Korach was, would also have the holiness of a Kohen. And in fact, the whole holiness of the Kohanim came to them as a change as well, because originally it was supposed to be the firstborn. But because the firstborn sinned, it was taken away from them and given to the Kohen. So Korach felt that by demanding it and by pleading for it and by davening for it, the Levim could prevail on God to make them also Kohanim. They also had a legitimate argument. Aaron, who was the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, had some kind of involvement with the Egel, with the making of the golden calf. While the entire tribe of Levi refused to participate in that sin. They, in fact, went to war against those who did. And so their argument was, if Aaron could be a Kohen Gadol and he did have some connection to the Egel, then the tribe of Levi, who had no involvement with the Egel, should certainly be deserving of that level of holiness. So the argument of Korach and his people was not that they came to Moshe and said, God didn't appoint you, but rather that this that God created, a Kohen Gadol out of Aaron, God can do the same for all of them. And that's what they wanted. They wanted the holiness of the Kohen. And so these 250 people didn't mean to question Moshe's authority, but as the Torah says, or Rashi quotes it, you 250 people, you all want to be Kohanim Gadolim. Actually, Korach wanted to be a Kohen Gadol in place of Aaron, but the 250 people wanted to be Kohanim in addition to Aaron. So this was their desire, this was their longing to reach this level. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, I also have the desire to be a Kohen Gadol, to reach that level of Kohuna. And what is that? That is the devotion of devoting your entire life, Eimed Lefnei Hashem L'Sharsay, that your entire life is devoted to the service of God, and even to the level of Kodesh HaKadoshim, of going into the Holy of Holies, to Yechidus, one-on-one with God. And so Moshe is saying to them, this desire that you have, the desire to be a Kohen, the desire to have that level of connection to God, this is a virtuous thing. And af ani reitze bekach, I also want this. In fact, every Jew should want. But in fact, there can only be one Kohen Gadol. And the 250 people who knew that they would die if they offer up the incense were agreed to do it anyway, because for them, the few moments of being able to be in the Holy of Holies, even if it cost them their lives, was worth it to them. As it was with Nadav and Avihu, the two sons of Aaron. And we've spoken many times, the Rebbe says, that concerning the Kehanim Gedolim, in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, where the Gemara says, Kol Echad V'Echad Le'Heitzi Shnose, because they were not really worthy to go into the Holy of Holies, every one of them that went into the Holy of Holies did not survive that year, didn't live through the year. And yet, they made every effort, those who could, made every effort to become the Kohen Gadol, even if they had to pay for it. So it shows how strong the desire was to experience that closeness with God. And so, even according to the simple meaning of the story, to the simple reading of the story, there was something virtuous about Korach and his people, because they sought, they strove to attain the level of Kohen Gadol. Now, where does Kedach and where do all his people get this desire from? Every desire has to have some hold in reality, some foothold in reality. So we see it in the words of Kedach himself. Kedach said, "Ki kol ha'eda kulam kedeshim, ubeseicham Hashem, umadua tisnasu," etc. The entire people are holy, and God is in them. So why do you set yourself apart? What is he referring to? He was referring to the fact that at the giving of the Torah, at Har Sinai, we all stood together and heard the Torah from God. And what did God say? God said, "Va'atem tihiyu li mamlechas kehanim v'gei kodesh." You will be for me a nation of kehanim. So the Baal HaTurim says that at that moment, standing at the foot of Mount Sinai, every Jew was on the level of a Kohen Gadol. So now, Kedach argued, since essentially every Jew is capable of being a Kohen Gadol, and it was only the sin of the Egel that excluded them from this level, and made it exclusive to Aaron, therefore, essentially, were it not for the sin, every Jew would be a Kohen Gadol. And that's where the desire for the Kohuna Gedolah comes from. So it's not a far-fetched chutzpah to want to attain that level, but it is in fact a natural inclination, since every Jew is in essence the Holy of Holies. And with this we'll understand why in Torah this parsha is referred to as Kedach, not even Vayikach Kedach. Vayikach Kedach, Kedach took the people, gathered the people. The Targum says that Vayikach means he split the people. So it suggests the sin or the fault of Kedach, but we don't call it Vayikach Kedach. So in the title of the parsha, when we refer to this parsha, we call it simply Kedach, which doesn't carry any negative connotation at all. It doesn't hint at any sin or fault of Kedach. And that's because, in essence, Kedach's desire was a positive one, a kosher one, a holy one. And the message from the word Kedach, the message of this parsha is that every Jew should want to be a Kohen Gadol. So it's not only a lesson for what not to do, that we should not be like Kedach, but rather that there is something positive in the desire that Kedach had, where Moshe Rabbeinu says, "I desire it too." So it's a positive thing to want to be the Kohen Gadol. But when it comes, in fact, the function of the Kohen Gadol, when it comes to starting an argument over the kahuna, for this you have only one Kohen Gadol, which is appointed by Moshe Rabbeinu, and he is in fact, in practice, the Kohen Gadol, because there can only be one. At the same time, the desire doesn't go away, and every Jew should maintain this desire for the Holy of Holies. Now here, the Rebbe asks a question. The Rambam says, concerning the Shevet, the tribe of Levi, that not only the tribe of Levi is set aside to work in the Beis HaMikdash and to devote their lives to godliness, but any Jew whose heart moves him to dedicate himself to this kind of a service, and he rejects all other obligations and puts aside all other concerns, he also becomes Kodesh Kadoshim. So every Jew can voluntarily volunteer to be a Levi. And yet here we're told that concerning the Kohen Gadol, you can only desire to be, but you can't actually be. So to understand this, we first have to understand the contradiction inherent in this statement. The work of the Levi and the Kohen Gadol concerning the Levi, the Rambam says that it can be accomplished only by donation, by goodness of heart. Anyone whose heart moves him to dedicate himself can become a Levi. But when it comes to being a Kohen Gadol, here the Parsha is telling us that it's not something that depends on your goodness of heart or your degree of dedication, but that it's an obligation. It is required that every Jew should want to be a Kohen Gadol. And at the same time, he can't really be a Kohen Gadol, he can only want it. So the answer is like this. Concerning Avedas Hashem, we find three levels, three aspects: mitzvahs, Torah, and Mesiras Nefesh. Mitzvahs are all connected to physical things: the wool of the tzitzis, the leather of the tefillin, and so on. Which means that the mitzvah is primarily to elevate the gashmi, is to elevate the physical and make it a vessel for godliness. Then there is Torah. Torah is a little bit higher than the world. Even though the Torah came down into this world, yet it is a little bit removed above the world, and therefore is not affected by the unholiness of the world. Ein divrei Torah mekablin tuma. And that causes the person who studies Torah also to be a little bit above, a little bit separated from worldly affairs. And then the third thing is Mesiras Nefesh, which is higher, according to Torah. Torah says that it is higher than any limit or any limitation even of Torah and Mitzvahs. It is the essential bond, Yechida, the essential bond between God and the Jew that is above all consideration, even the limitations of Torah. Now these three Avedas all exist in three levels of Jews. Most Jews in their Aveda is to elevate the world, Hanig behem minig derecheret, to go about your worldly affairs, to plant and to reap and so on, but to do it all with Shem Shamayim and elevate the world thereby, and they are called the masters of the good deeds. Then there is the tribe of Levi. Their Aveda represents the Jew who separates himself from the world, does not get involved in property and in physical, in business affairs and so on, but dedicates his life to the Torah, to the study of Torah, and that puts him a little bit beyond, a little bit above the world. And they are called masters of Torah. Then there is the Aveda of the Kohen, and particularly the Kohen Gadol, who is not allowed to leave Yerushalayim or go out of the Beis HaMikdash. He has to be completely removed and completely connected from the world and completely connected to God with Mesiras Nefesh, Yechida L'Yachadach. So now we'll understand these two expectations. Being a tribe of Levi and being a Kohen Gadol. From, on the one hand, the Aveda of the Levi is for everyone. And it's a constant a thing you do all the time, a constant Aveda. Whereas the job of the Kohen Gadol is only something you want, and it is not constant. But on the other hand, to be a Levi is a matter of nedava, of dedication and contribution, whereas the desire to be a Kohen Gadol is obligation. It makes sense like this. In the Aveda of the Jew, being in this world, there are two parts: working with himself and working with the world. In generally, this distinction is the distinction between those who study Torah and those who do mitzvahs. Because doing the mitzvahs is primarily for the world, and studying Torah is primarily for oneself. But that the one who is moved, who has the spirit, can make his Iker Aveda the study of Torah, separating himself from the world, and thereby enabling those who are in the world to elevate the world. The Aveda of the Kohen Gadol, this deep connection, the hiskashus to God on the level of Mesiras Nefesh, is not something you do every day, but you have to want it. In both forms of Aveda, whether you're doing mitzvahs and elevating the world, or studying Torah and elevating yourself, there has to be the power behind it that makes it all godly. And that is the Mesiras Nefesh, the bond the essential bond between the Jew and God. Only when your kavana is that you want to be connected to God, then your study of Torah becomes an effective one. Because to study Torah, not because of a desire to be connected to God, is not a proper study of Torah. And to be involved in the world, not for the purpose of connecting to God through that, is also not a proper way of being in the world. So the Mesiras Nefesh of the Kohen Gadol is something we need to want as we go about our particular Avodah. Those who are doing mitzvahs have to do mitzvahs permeated with a desire to become closer to God, the Mesiras Nefesh of the Kohen Gadol. And those who study Torah also have to be motivated and permeated with a desire to come closer to God, otherwise the study of the Torah will also not be a proper one. And so these are the three levels of Torah, mitzvahs, and Mesiras Nefesh, which is the Aveda of every Jew, the mitzvahs, the Aveda of the Levi, the Talmud Chacham, who devotes his life to the study of Torah, and is a reminder to the person who does the mitzvahs that the mitzvahs should be according to Torah, and then he is reminded by the Kohen Gadol that the study of Torah also must be for the express purpose and for the Torah Lishma, to get closer to God through the study of Torah, and not only studying Torah for the knowledge and for its own sake. And then we are zeicha that in actual fact, not only in desire, but in actual fact, there will be the fulfillment of the promise that in the future all Levi'im will become Kehanim. In fact, every Jew will be on the level of the Kohen Gadol, as he says in the Baal HaTurim, that La'osid Lovei, in the world to come, Tachzer Lohem, the virtue or the privilege of Kohen Gadol will be returned to the people, as it says, Va'atem Kohanei Hashem Tikro, and you will be called, in the future you will be called Kohanim of Hashem. And that is in the Geula Amitav HaShleima, at which time we will have Moshe and Aaron among us.